Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, he's actually going to let me use my Bible tonight. You just don't know how thankful I am for that. But I've been enjoying, and I don't think he's through with the other process. And he sure spoke to some people today. You know, you could tell in the prayer line. So tonight, open up your Bibles to Mark 11. It's been a little while since I got to say that. Mark 11. Now see, this is the Calling in the Lost service, and Dave taught us many years ago in conjunction with the power of your words and how important it is, the words that we speak over our lost loved ones, really the words that we speak anytime. And I've brought with me tonight, again, that ninth prophecy that came recently. Well, it was the January 12th of this year. It came through Pastor Bronk. The title is Move Out of My Authority. And so I'm going to read a little bit from there. But how many knows we're going into revival? Real revival. Not the kind I grew up with. You know, revival starts Wednesday night at 7. Because... you know, they've invited Reverend or Evangelist so-and-so and end Saturday at whatever time, you know, not that kind. We want the kind where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. Drug addicts are instantly set free. I'd like to see some mental disease devils go running off myself. So, you know, some schizophrenia, bipolar type things. And say, well, maybe it's chemical. Well, God can heal chemical things. So, a real revival, real one. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. Well, in Mark 11, I know for many this is like Faith 101, but verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And the very first thing he says, for verily I say unto you, and verily means truly, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, that person shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow, that's quite a statement. In this ninth prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk, the title put on it is Move Out of My Authority. The second paragraph especially speaks, the Holy Spirit speaking more instruction concerning that particular verse to me. It doesn't mention Mark 11, 23 in it. But see, especially here at Calling in the Lost, because part of what we're doing, we're calling people saved that we know are not saved right now. We pray. I'm not going to redo the whole teaching tonight. First, we pray. We call them up before the Lord. We pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. But see, we believe that he heard us when we prayed. So we don't pray that every week like he didn't hear us the first time. We pray, we believe, then from that point on, we say, we call them what we call them saved and filled. Jesus did this all the time. I'm not going to teach on it tonight. You can look at it in Matthew 16, the verse that he had me reference this morning. Who do you say that I am? Peter had the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus tells him, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, but my Father. It's really revelation knowledge. But in that, he calls him, he says, thou art Peter. In the Greek language, that means you're a rock. So Jesus, right off, is calling Peter a rock. Yet, which one of the disciples was it? Let's see now. Which one was it that denied him three times? I think it might have been that same Peter, see? Now, see, Jesus believes in calling those things which be not as though they were. He was calling Peter a rock from the beginning. And Peter loved Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind. He loved Jesus. He thought he was ready when he wasn't ready. I mean, none of us have ever made that mistake, you know. But I love how Jesus, right from the beginning, starts calling Peter a rock. You know, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, here's something. There'll be more on this later. You know, the Holy Spirit can just upset all your apple cart real quick, you know. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Here recently, I heard this question floating up in me. But why do you suppose he's calling you, Gary? What do you suppose he's saying about you? The next thought that floated up. And how does that compare with what you're saying about you? Yeah, he called Peter a rock. See? He's probably saying good things over you, I bet you. I bet. No, we're not allowed to bet. I think he's... Okay. So, this is never going to change. This is the Word of God. People that believe that what they say comes to pass. Now, it starts off with have faith in God. So this principle is connected with God. Have faith in God. One translation says have the faith of God. Or you could say this is how God's faith works. Okay? You got to believe that what you say will come to pass. That's one of the reasons that we spend the last 20, 30 minutes every week on those confessions about this church, just saying what God has said about this church and what His will is for it. Okay. So, I know you don't have a copy of the prophecy in front of you, but I'll read it. It's available from 2 weeks ago on Sunday night as a PDF. You can print it out. It's called Move Out of My Authority. You can get it at my website, Dave's website, Bronx website. It came on January 12th of this year. Now, it's really the second paragraph that I'm after, but I don't feel peace about just reading that one. So he leads up to it. But it's, boy, is it not talking about this. Okay. It is talking about this. Yes, sir. Even this first sentence, see, because the revival we're going into, the first sentence, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yes. Stop. Just stop right there. See, I'm not interested in your church growth programs. I'm not interested in midnight football. I'm not interested in how to get more offerings to the church. I'm not interested. What I'm interested in is demonstrating the living, risen Christ through the anointing of the Holy Ghost to a lost world. That's what we're interested in. Real revival is you, and I'm talking Joel's army, you learning to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. He is the anointing of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay? So it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. So what he's talking about here is us moving from a place of knowledge, which knowledge is good, but moving from, okay, I want to say it this way. We're moving from a Gary prayer to a Holy Ghost anointed prayer. Now, sure, I pray. A lot of, you know what I mean, Gary prayers. Just prayer. I'm tired of Gary prayers, to be honest with you. When I pray, let's say it this, and I hear, and when I say, when I pray, and we, see, because the next one, Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray. So this principle is when you pray and when you say. I am going to read this in Jesus' name. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of grace. The flesh profits nothing. More determination, more willpower, more being adamant about getting it done, or convincing others in your life to get it done, or to do it for you, or to move this, or to move that, is not the authority that I gave you. For my authority comes up from a place of the Spirit. I gave Adam, from the very beginning, that anointing to tend to the garden. Before the fall, his authority came out of the spirit man that was in total unison with his physical body and his soul. After the fall, I came with a renewing spirit a spirit that was created like unto the first. And I brought forth the final Adam to renew you and even beyond, because that one, the last Adam, became a quickening spirit. And it is out of that spirit that all life proceeds. And it's out of that spirit that all the abundance of life proceeds to your life, says the Spirit of grace. For I am patient and long-suffering to teach you this. Now, that's the first paragraph. Now, here we're going to get into words. When you move out of the flesh, then you move out of the emotions in your own life to get things done on a daily basis, even mundane things and things that you would think of as in natural things, as in jobs and work and employment and in going about. I did not give you this spirit to move out of the flesh, for all authority comes out of that spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. Now here we're into it. Learn this place of authority. Because you must understand this and judge yourself when frustrations come and anger comes and a sense of having to make it happen comes. It is not that authority that I gave you that you're moving out of. But if you will move out of that authority, now here we go, and speak the end result and believe that my spirit and my angels and everything that heaven employs will go in front of you and surround your words with authority and power. Then the things that you place your hand to will be accomplished in such a perfect standing of grace and anointing. Even when you're adamant about something and adamant about getting something done or having something accomplished, it will not be through frustration. It will not be through an attitude that pushes you or others. Submit to this authority in all things. It begins first in the spirit and then exudes itself into all places in life. I'd go to Matthew 16 just for a moment. Matthew 16. Now see, we're going to have to come to the place where we actually believe that. See, why would a person in Mark 11:23 believe that what he says comes to pass? Why would he believe that? Notice the silence in the room. Well, why would you? He's telling us. He's giving us behind the curtain information. He's giving us in the realm of the spirit information. As we notice, this is the ninth prophecy. This comes after. This is for people that are submitting to the first eight. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Spending that time with the Holy Spirit. Letting Him purge you of your agenda so He can build His agenda into you. That type of thing. And those that do that, then comes this one. See, you're never going to change the Lord's Prayer. It's thy kingdom come. It's thy will be done. That's the qualifier. Not my will. Thine be done. See? He's realigning your will to His will. Realigning it, see? So all of that's involved in the first eight prophecies. But for those that will do that, now He's saying, now you need to start understanding the authority that you're going to move out of. And I can't even tell you how many times I have been over these now. Because I'm looking at Jesus afresh. When it really comes down to what Jesus did, most of the time it came down to speaking words. Most of the time. He would lay hands on people, okay? We're told to lay hands on people. But most of the time, the vast majority, I haven't gone through and got a percentage, but you know and I know that, 90% of what He did, the miraculous things, He spoke. What He said come to pass too. And we're being given behind the scenes information as to why. Because the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. So he's bringing us into the thing we've been after, the real revival, this whole time. So in Matthew 16, this is the verse that kept floating up this morning, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Boy, he saith unto them, Whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. He starts calling him a rock. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now again, those gates, for years and years, and it's not totally wrong. There are councils in the gates of hell. Remember the Old Testament? The elders would meet in the gate, and they would take counsel how to go to war. So there is some truth to, Jesus got attacked by the devil in the wilderness, okay. But see, really, the Holy Spirit set me free from that one day just with this one question. Because I always had this defensive posture. How we survived the last attack, how are we going to survive the next attack? I was always thinking in that line of, that kind of thinking. And he asked me, all right, tell me about every time in your life that you have been attacked by a gate. It's so ludicrous. I've never been attacked by a gate. I've walked by thousands of gates in my life. I have yet to ever be attacked by one. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the gates of hell that had the prisoners bound behind those gates. And that gate is locked to keep you out and to keep them in. Boy, we see Jesus going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. He'd find a prisoner behind that gate. He'd kick it down with the authority of who he was, the Christ, the Messiah, the last Adam. He'd kick that thing down in the spirit, declare the living word, and that captive would be set free. Well, he's calling us to do exactly that same thing. The gates of hell will not prevail against us either. Okay? Now, tonight we're going to go a little farther, see, because in order for that to happen, and if it's 90% done with words, how did Jesus, let's just look at it again. Now, think with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the things that he did. How did Jesus co-labor with the Holy Spirit? Now, Jesus is the agent of authority. He is the last Adam. This is my beloved son. We've been through that coronation at his baptism many times. He is the agent of authority. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. And you can go all the way back to Genesis with this. It tells you plainly the Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the face of the deep. He had the power to create light. He knew. He's all-knowing. Omni-knowing. He's all-knowing like the Father's knowing. He knew that the Father wanted light. He's the one that has the power to produce light. He is already there hovering over this, waiting. And I like to see it as just pulsating with the absolute power of the universe and more. Well, he created more than the universe. But he's waiting on something. He's not doing it. But don't you know the will of the Father? I know the will of the Father. What are you waiting on? He was waiting on that spoken word. In this case, it was the second member of the Godhead, the Logos. Light be. Whew. Light was. From the very beginning, the Holy Spirit works with the spoken word of God. He said to me one time, if I wouldn't make an exception for God the Father, I wouldn't move until I heard the spoken word. If I wouldn't move for the Father and the Son, what do you think your odds are I'm going to move for you? He might be waiting on something. Okay. All right. But what he's talking about now, though, is our words being with power. because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. That brings us to the next part of this passage here in Matthew 16. I'm going to read the last part of 18 again. I will build upon this rock, the rock of what? Jesus is the Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now if you try and Greek that verse out, you're going to find that the tenses of the Greek says it like this. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be that which is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be that which is already loosed in heaven. Well, that gave me fits and my mental fits for several years till it finally dawned on my lightning quick mind. That's just another way of saying, Father, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We have keys to establish his will on planet earth. Now he used the word keys for a reason. We have a storage building, Sue and I do, and our ministry has a storage building. And we have things in there and we have it behind lock and key. All right? Who has the keys? Do you have them? I don't think so. I have a key. Sue has a key. Angie has a key. Why? We three have authority. See, the person, get this sentence. The person with the key, unless they're a thief, the person with the key is the person that has been given the authority. Did you get that? And what's he saying to you? Behold, I give unto you the keys, plural, of the kingdom. I'm going to postulate just a little bit here. I'm going to tell you right now. Those keys are words. More than that, they're his word. His word spoken out of your mouth are the very keys of authority. That is how Jesus co-labored with the Holy Spirit. And that is how we, for the most part, co-labor with the Holy Spirit. He's waiting on that spoken word. So one way that we know that this, I have it in red, this part, speak the end result. This is from that prophecy, move out of my authority. Speak the end result. I have been trying to catch myself when I've been not doing that. Let me finish reading this. Believe that my spirit, now we're talking about his spirit during this part. Believe that my spirit and my angels, we'll get to that in a minute, and everything that heaven employs, and I don't even know what all that is. You don't either. But apparently there's something. We'll go in front of you and surround your words with authority and power. Then the things that you place your hand to will be accomplished in such a perfect standing of grace and authority. All right, now we've talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit co-labors with the spoken word of God. Amen? Jesus, you can study him for yourself. You're going to see 90% of what he did was speaking. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Sometimes he would lay hands on them. Sometimes they would touch the hem of his garment. But I'm going to say 90% or better, I bet you. I'm not allowed to bet in church. 90%, I would say. He co-labored with the Holy Spirit by speaking words. I believe we're going to do the same thing. Let's talk about angels. Now, see, I know the Holy Spirit's going to be teaching more about angels. Go to Psalms 103, verse 20. Psalms Psalm 103, verse 20. You read through the book of Acts, I keep getting a little bit surprised how often still, even in our covenant, our dispensation, angels were involved in the ministry of Paul. You know, we tend to think it's all the Holy Spirit. Well, mostly Holy Spirit. But angels would come. Angels would bring messages. Angels came and ministered to Jesus. Holy cannoli, you know. There is such a thing. Psalm 103, look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his what? You his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Now notice, hearkening unto the voice of his word. I can't tell you, this was quite a few years ago. I misquoted that verse for years because I used to quote it just, you know, thinking it said, bless the Lord, oh ye, bless the Lord, all ye, excuse me, wrong verse, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto his word. And that's not what it says. So he gave me a little illustration one day. It was like, I felt like he was saying like, okay, Gary, pick up your Bible. Put it right up next to your ear. Now listen. Now, is this the Word of God? My Bible, my printed Bible or on your phone, is that the Word of God? But I picked my Bible up and I put it right up next to my ear. This was an ugly building day. And I heard, do you hear a voice? There's no voice. It's His Word. But the angels don't hearken to His Word laying on your coffee table. The angels don't even hearken to the Word you've got memorized in your heart. It says here, the angels hearken to the voice of His Word. Boy, this was one of the early lessons that Sue and I learned when we were, when those days when money was staying away in great abundance, you know. And we had to, he started having me, and I don't want to teach all that again, but walk the floor 4 hours a day, back and forth, back and forth. I took three scriptures, and I just said them out loud. Now, there's a whole lot of things going on there. That's renewing my mind. That's bringing myself, I'm sowing my garden, if you'll allow me, on and on and on. But part of what I was doing, I was giving voice to the Word of God. And finally, the angels have something they can hearken to. They can hearken to that. I'm going to read it again from the prophecy. Speak the end result. How would we say that in calling in the lost language? Call those things which be not as though they were. We had to learn that when our three daughters were all in rebellion at the same time. Boy, it's easy to slip into calling things that are the way they are. Boy, it's easy to want sympathy from each other and sympathy from other people. And, oh, we didn't raise them like this. And, oh, we know what they're doing. And, oh, they're doing, no, we're worried about this and worried about, man, the flesh just loves wallowing in that mire. But somehow the Holy Spirit, you see, first, you know, one finances was one arena we had to learn it in. Now, with our teenage daughters, we had to learn and find His Word, fill our hearts. See, and this is the thing. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's got to be in your heart in abundance. It's not just, faith does not come out of the mind. Knowledge is good, but faith is of the heart. Faith is of the Spirit. He says in there, all real authority comes out of that spirit man. See, faith is of the heart. You got out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Man, we got it in us. It was hard at first. If you feel like lying, you feel like you're, you know, not telling the truth. But man, we got it in our heart in abundance. It wasn't even a struggle anymore. You come up and say, how's your daughters doing? Right in the middle of they're going to the bars, they're getting drunk, they're running around with guys they shouldn't do, and we don't know what all else, and I'm glad I don't know what all else. I don't ever want to know. We learned, rather than answer from the natural, our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils, they speak with new tongues. Our daughters are godly women. They are the planting of the Lord. They are trees of righteousness, and they produce all the fruit of the Spirit everywhere they go. However long you're willing to stand there, that's how long we keep saying stuff like that. Right in the middle. Right in the middle of the storm. Can I say it that way? Right at the worst of it. All right? We could go on and on with examples like that. Now let me read this highlighted part one more time. Yes, get the end of this thing. How many will... We are going to walk in Mark 11:23. I don't want to misquote it, so let me do this. I feel like he wants us to do this. Just repeat after me. I am a person that when I speak to the mountain, be removed. Be cast into the sea. I don't doubt in my heart. I believe that what I say comes to pass. And because I believe it, I have whatever I say. I believe that the Holy Spirit and the holy angels of God and everything that heaven employs goes in front of me, surrounds my words with authority and with power. Everything I put my hand to is accomplished by His grace and by His authority. In His name. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I always speak the end result. I speak the end result. By His stripes, I was healed. I call myself healed. By His poverty, I was made rich. I have more than enough. The Lord provides all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. I have been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I go about doing the same works that Jesus did. I set the captives free. The gates of hell cannot prevail. When I speak the word, I've been given the key to every gate. When I speak the word, that is the key. And the Holy Spirit and the angels of God open that gate and the captives are set free. In Jesus' name. Because God is with me. That's who we are. That's what the Holy Spirit is bringing us to. Without that, we're not going to have revival. But with that, we have revival. We have revival. Print what out? Huh? I can. Sue's asking me to make those confessions into the first person. I can do that and put it as a PDF. So we'll do that because my wife has wisdom. She does. She's a good cook and pretty too. But anyway, but I digress. But don't make me lose my train of thought, baby. You know, wasn't that great seeing Doug and Lisa? Aren't they still boyfriend and girlfriend? I just love it. Okay, hallelujah. Okay. Now the next paragraph. We're going to close a little early, I think, tonight. But listen to this next paragraph. I have called you for an outpouring. You know what that means, an outpouring. Okay. Real anointing. Real revival. I have called you for an outpouring. And I've called you for a place where men look at your lives and say, well, there is a group that does not walk like we walk. There is a group that when they speak something, it comes to pass. It follows them. Much of the signs and wonders that others will see will not just be the miraculous healings, but it'll be watching your life, which will be a sign and a wonder unto them. That how you maneuver in life, how you get things done, they will have to testify that there must be an outside supernatural helper or source, angels, that helps you accomplish what others cannot accomplish. Saith the Spirit of grace, kings and priests I have called you to be. I didn't look it up. I didn't know exactly where we were going, but there's a proverb that says, the word of the king is with power. You remember that? The word of a king is with power. I have called you to be kings. Kings and priests. Yes, you will lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. And that is part of the great outpouring. But part and much of the great outpouring is walking in a place where the anointing surrounds you. And that it breaks all yokes. Your yoke that the enemy would fasten your life to with negative confessions and negative thoughts and a downward spiral is broken by my presence and staying in my presence. That yoke is broken. As my word describes it positionally, then in experience it's broken for you as you tarry in my presence. But it's not meant that freedom that comes by that yoke being continually broken over your life and in your life is meant to be the experience. Let others be part of this communion. Serve communion to others, not just with the breaking of bread and of the juice of the fruit of the vine. Let them take communion of your life, imparting to them as they watch you in observance that your life is a life of freedom and peace. Now get this, and what you say comes to pass in authority because you move out of that place of authority. He makes an astounding statement here. He says, know this, you have an answer for everything. You have an answer for everything. Even when you do not believe in your natural mind that you have an answer, you have an answer for everything inside of you. Because the one that created all things dwells inside of you. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it one more time. It's good for us. I have faith in God. Whenever I say to any mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, I do not doubt in my heart. I believe that what I say comes to pass. And I believe everything I say comes to pass. Therefore, I have everything I say. I believe that the Holy Spirit and the holy angels of God and everything that heaven employs goes in front of me and surrounds my words with authority and power. And the things that I put my hand to are accomplished in a perfect standing of grace and authority. Hallelujah. I anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. I go about doing good. And in the name of Jesus, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with me. Yes, sir. I'm going to give you my assignment. You can do what you want with it. Go to John about 14. I just received this within, I didn't talk to Sue about it yet, just in the last 24 hours or so. I got a new assignment. I believe in this same prophecy. Yes, a little farther down. He talks about always be sowing the word of God as seed into your garden. He talks about that. Let's see. Yeah. Let every part of your garden be growing seeds of life, prosperity in your body, prosperity in your soul, and prosperity to your finances, prosperity to your children coming in. Saith the Spirit of grace. Tend to this garden. Go everywhere, speaking and sowing seeds of life. Now, you've heard from we. I know Sue and I, we have done that when it comes to our finances. We have done that when it comes to our children. We have just spent hours sowing the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. We've done it when it comes to our health. Walking the floor, speaking the word. But within the last 24 or 36 hours, I got this. John 14, verses 12, 13, and 14. My assignment again. Take those three verses and just walk the floor, saying them out loud over and over and again. I'll read them to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, once I get an assignment and I know what it is. See, that's simple. I can understand that. He didn't give me a number of hours. But I have learned this over these years. In the early days, I would just obey that and basically beat unbelief to death with a baseball bat. Die, unbelief. Die, die, die. Because I just say it and say it and say it. He taught me later, add hope. Add hope to your confession. Couple those words with seeing it on the inside. He says, 4 hours of godly confession with hope is more productive than, I think he said, 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. Gee, many Christmas. Boy, that's a percentage changer. So Sue is saying, for those that cannot hear, which is everybody on earth, that's why it is important when we do the confessions, even as we're about to start them here in a few minutes, that we see, and we teach on that once in a while, that we see it coming to pass. Add godly hope to what we say, not just sitting there thinking about what I'm going to have for a snack before bed, which is pizza, by the way. But anyway, thinking about not teasing it. But adding godly hope, see. So anyway, I'm just telling you that's an assignment. I just got it within the last 24, 36 hours. I'm going to do it. You watch what'll happen. You watch. It'll happen too. Because his word cannot return to him void. I heard a message on that. Oh, I've taught that. Anyway, hallelujah. No, it is important. She's absolutely right. To add godly hope. See it on the inside. We would stop sometimes where it comes to that part, every wheelchair empty. Remember that? I'd stop. I'd say, now see this. Stop. See this. Every wheelchair emptied. All of them. First time. Every time. No exceptions. That's his plan. That is his will.